Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you His great holy words, even another week. My name is Moray Yeshaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, He's our judge, He's our lawgiver, and Yahweh is our only savior, and not just of Israel. He's the savior of the world. And again, I praise the mighty Yah for this great, holy, blessed opportunity to bring to you His great, holy, and exalted words. Today, this evening, this night, we're going to bring to you all this week wisdom concerning health and wellness. There's no doubt our people are a people that have been truly cursed with all kind of sicknesses. All of us. There has been none of us that have escaped the various curses that Yahweh said will befall us if we didn't keep His commandments. And it is of a truth. We did not keep His commandments. But what if we did? And what if we return back to His commandments? Would that reverse the damage that we did to ourselves? And the truth is, yes, He did. Yahweh tells us in His word, is there anything too hard for Yah? And we know there's nothing too hard for Yah at all. Nothing at all. Therefore, we're going to explore, especially those who want to explore, who want to search out and seek out how they can have good health and good wellness. Well, the number one thing that one needs to seek out and search out, the number one thing that affects us as a people is the knowledge that the Creator gave us about this one particular thing. Its essence of who we are, what we are, and how we go about having quality of life. And you might ask yourself, well, what is this thing? Well, I want to show you what this thing is. And you'll find it in the book of Genesis. And let us turn there. Genesis, the second chapter. Here we're talking about health and wellness. Or you might say wellness and health. But there is no wellness, there is no good health without having this knowledge that you're about to get tonight. No matter what knowledge you have, this is number one. All right, praise somebody, Yah. We're back with you. I left off talking about going to our first scripture to show you the number one thing that you need to know about, the knowledge you got to have in order for you to have health and wellness. And this is what you'll find in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. And we're going to start reading at the seventh verse. And this is what it says. Well, let's start at the fifth verse. And every plant of the ground or plant of the field before it was in earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For For Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his knowledge the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. So, in analyzing this scripture, we find great wisdom. The first thing we find about man, that Yahweh breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. When you look up the word breath, it's the very thing that give us life. For if Yahweh take away this breath, it is the very thing that kills us. Everything hinges on this breath. But little do people know, Yahweh housed this breath inside what we know of as blood. And everywhere the blood goes, so do the breath. And if the blood spill out, so do your breath. If the blood become contaminated, so do your breath. If the blood becomes suffocated, so do your breath. Now, if we already know this, and we already understand this, then why are we so sick as a people? Here, Yahweh, he breathed into the man, what is known as the breath of the life. And Yahweh planted a garden, called a place in which the garden was called Eden. And what was in this garden? In the 9th verse, it says, and out of the ground made Yahweh to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Not only these trees were pleasant to look at, but these trees were also good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And watch what else what Yahweh put there. The river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is which encompassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, and Delium, and Honeycomb. And the name of the second river is Gion. The same is it that encompassed the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is which goes toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And Yahweh took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And there is no garden that exists on the earth that can exist without water, without sun or light, period, but in particularly the sun.
It has to have those two elements. And both elements are made up of what you know of as oxygen. That's one of the chemical compounds. And even if you don't buy that, that's fine. Because the scriptures don't even mention the word oxygen. But it does mention the word water. And it does mention the word sun. And you got to have those two things in order for the garden to thrive, to live. Which also means the very dirt and dust that man was formed from also got to have water and sun. And man can have water and sun all day long, but if he don't have that breath, all he is a dead soul. But once he has that breath, then he becomes a living soul. And the water and the sun with the various herbs, trees, as was mentioned, that was pleasant to the sight. And the scripture said it was good for food. That's what sustains man. And you take one of those elements. Take the trees, you take the man. Take the sun, you take the man. Take the water, and you take the man. And I'm going to show you not just any food that Yahweh give man, nor did he just give him any kind of water. All these things are essential for good health and wellness. And why are we discussing this? Because Israel is supposed to be the people of Yahweh, and they are. But why is Israel so sick? You're going to see why. And you're going to see why Yahweh told us to return unto him. And he shall return unto us. And we're going to show you where you must return. Now watch this. I want you to see, because we know we need water. We know we need sun to have good health. And from the sun and the water come our trees, our food, which is the third thing that produce good health. But there's one more thing that I want to show you that also supposed to produce good health. And watch what it says. 16 verses. Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So undoubtedly there are trees that Yahweh didn't want us to eat of. Because the tree possessed something that will kill us, that will take our very breath. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmate for him, which is the fourth thing that I found. That's real good for your health, to have a wife, a companion, someone that's supposed to do you good, because it's not good for man to be alone. And what sense does it make for a man to have someone that is not good for him? Being by itself is not good. And then to add something else not good only adds up to no good. So this helpmate is supposed to be someone that is good, because being alone is not good. If we really understood that, then we would have a little bit more sympathy and empathy for those who do not have a companion, because it is not good. Just like it is not good if you don't have water or sun or trees, it is not good, as you will learn. And out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a help made for him. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And a rib, which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her to me. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So here, every good thing that Adam needed, Adam had. Every good thing. And we got to look at the various good things that Adam had, so we can understand we can have these same good things if we value these good things. And you're going to see that this is not what we value at all. And as you will learn, how Yahweh see these things. Because we're talking about health and wellness. And the very thing that flows through our body, it touches every place in our body, is our blood. And what did Yahweh house there? Well, he housed there what he called life, the breath of life. And he surrounds us about all the good things that promote wellness in life, in the garden, around trees, that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. And then put us around these rivers, four rivers, that watered the garden. And then he gave us a wife, a helpmate. that's supposed to help us, to assist us, to join us in our life. All these good things we can have. Adam had it, and we can have it. Look what the Creator said in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. The 29th verse. And Elohim said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food." And our people want to eat everything but what's coming off the trees, and everything but what's coming out of the ground in terms of herbs. And why? Is the other things going to stimulate your blood? Where is the breath of life? Yahweh did this for a reason. Watch what it says. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. So not only when man was made with all the goodness that Yahweh would give him to live after giving him the breath of life, he also gave the beast, the fowl of the air, the creeping thing, all the same thing. First verse. And Elohim saw everything that he had made, everything. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And the reason why blood is necessary to discuss, because where do you think the path of life is? And it's very important to understand it, because the blood goes everywhere. That's why we have laws that I'm going to read to you, that we're not to eat no manner of blood. Because once the blood becomes contaminated, everything in you becomes contaminated. And once the blood is, then you die. This is the fact of life. And why do you die? Because as your blood goes, so do your breath. And watch what the scriptures say in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. But think about their blood. Anytime today in modern science, if they want to know what's wrong with you, they just take blood out your body and test it. And they can find out everything that they want to find out. Of course, our people, they don't have to do that at all. They never had to take blood out, put it under a microscope, and see what was wrong with you. Once a person became sick, the body itself will let you know that I'm sick. And once we knew that someone was sick, then we knew that their blood was contaminated and their breath in the blood was compromised and they can die. And so what we would do in ancient times, we would give the body things that undoubtedly the blood, the breath, all needed to survive. And we already named it. And we're going to keep reading so you can understand what this is saying. Watch this in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. Just want you to see it. The third verse. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering to Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the firstborn of the flock, of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance failed. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel's brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. And now are you cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, shall not henceforth yield to you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. And this was a terrible punishment, as it is today. And we're going to go over that punishment in a little bit more detail. But right now, I just want you to see, once the blood is shed, then you die. This is why people die when they lose blood. Because where the blood goes, so do the breath. But here, we find our people is killing themselves. Not because somebody slew them, because they have lustfully taken their own breath. Not only by the things they eat, but by everything they put in them, not realizing that the breath of life is in the blood. It is. Many of our people, all you got to do is walk outside and walk out there and let it be a cloud of smoke and see what happened to your breath. What that smoke will do, it will suffocate you. Why? Because you can't breathe. Why? Because the smoke will fill your lungs. It will destroy the very breath that's in your blood. You can be in a forest full of trees, but if those trees catch fire, you're going to die because of smoke. But here it is. We'll let our enemies make a device called a cigarette, and we will inhale the smoke right to our blood, right to our lungs, and suffocate ourselves. You might as well take a pillow and put it over your face and hold it over your face until you die. Now, if you take a pillow and put it over your face, you're not going to die right away. It's going to take a second to kill you. But make no mistake about it. If you keep the pillow there, you will suffocate and die. Well, what do you think you're doing when you smoke anything? You can call it a cigarette. You can call it a joint. A weed, a vapor, I don't care what it is. If you inhaling smoke, there is no such smoke that is good for the blood because it suffocates the breath that's in it, which is called the breath of life. And there is no smoke that after you breathe it, it will make you clean. That do not exist in the scriptures at all. It don't exist. But maybe you think it do, you can show me. I done read about incense. I done read about everything. And I ain't seen no smoke that will make you clean. None. And if it would have, wouldn't Yahweh have put it in the Garden of Eden? We see the rivers for the water. We see the trees for food. We even see the woman herself. But where is the smoke? This is something that we're going to have to understand. We today are guided by our own lust. And Yahweh going to show something about our lust, how polluted we really are. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. Oh, before I go to Genesis, the 9th chapter, I want you to see Genesis, the 6th chapter. And watch what it says. In Genesis 6, the 17th verse, watch what it says. And behold, I, talking about Yahweh, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And where's the breath of life? It's in the blood. It don't have to be smoke. Let your lungs fill up with water, and you're going to see what happens. And not just lungs. This killed beast, this killed everything wherein the breath of life was from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. And everything in the earth did die. It did die. Now Genesis, the 9th chapter. I just wanted to see what this breath of life is, where it is, And why we don't value it. In the book of Genesis, the ninth chapter, starting at the very first verse, what happened to the man that Yahweh put in the ark and his family? And when he took him off the ark and his family, this is what he said. And Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth, and all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. And every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. If that's what you want, you got everything. But the green herb, that is your food from the beginning. And you don't see what Yahweh say about this. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And here we got our enemies teaching us to eat stuff medium rare, half cooked, lightly cooked, red and bloody. Don't you know that's a trick? That the ambassador of hell is trying to steal your soul? We're not to eat the blood. Fifth verse, and surely your blood and your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require, at the hand of a man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man, which is what? The blood. And why? Because that's where the breath of life is. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of Elohim made he man. So the blood was essential because it had something that we were supposed to value. That thing was called life itself. The breath of life, what Yahweh breathed into our nostrils. And how can you have health and wellness and you don't value and take care of the very blood that flows through your veins? And Yahweh gave us his great laws to protect us against contamination. Watch what Yahweh let us know about in his great laws concerning the very thing that we really supposed to be about. And that's health and wellness. Watch what the Creator let us know in the book of Deuteronomy 14. Watch this. I want you to see this law. The very first verse. You are the children of Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. And I can understand crystal clearly now why Yahweh say don't cut ourselves. Because you're going to bleed. And when you bleed, and when your blood is exposed, so is your breath. Now it's easy to be contaminated. And once you become contaminated, your breath becomes compromised. Watch what it says. Why you don't do these things? For you are a holy people unto Yahweh your Elohim. And Yahweh has chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself. above all the nations that are upon the face of the earth. And watch the very next verse, third verse. You shall not eat any abominable thing. And let me tell you what the word abominable means. It means unclean things. This is supposed to be the difference between us and everybody else. How clean we were to be. And if we're clean, our blood is clean. And if our blood is clean, then our breath will also be clean. And that's why Yahweh wanted us to be holy. Because to be holy before Yahweh is to be clean before Yahweh. Why can't we understand this? Walking around saying you this and that, and you smoking and doing all kind of unclean things. What is wrong with our people? And you eating all kind of abominable things. And I'm not just picking on people who smoke, because some people are doing things just as bad as smoking by putting the abomination in their bodies, which also contaminates the blood. And what do the blood need? Good, clean water. Because that's what the plants need. That's what the trees need. That's what the very dirt we made out of needs. What do the blood need? Some good air. Clean air that we can breathe. Why do you think Yahweh put him in a garden surrounded by a bunch of trees? Our people done got some so lazy they don't even want to go outside. Because to go around some trees, that means they got to go somewhere, walk somewhere, drive somewhere. Well, if there's a bunch of good trees that you can be around, that's what you want to be around. If it was good for Adam, why wouldn't that be good for you? Some good air. The more trees you have around you, what do you think the trees do? They suck up all the bad air. Send it right down to the ground where it's supposed to be. And mass produce good, wholesome food for you. And turn that bad air into good air. Now you're breathing like you're supposed to. You're breathing what you're supposed to. Don't eat, you shall not eat any abominable thing. And Yahweh lets us know what the abominable things are. And I want you to see the words that Yahweh used when it comes to these abominable things. So, for example, in the book of, I think you're going to find this in the book of, let's see. In the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter, let us go to that.
in the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter, the 43rd verse. Watch what it says. Verse 43. It says, you shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps. Neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am Yahweh your Elohim. You shall therefore sanctify yourself. And you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am Yahweh that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast. And of the fowl, and of every living creature that moves in the waters, and of every creature that creeps upon the earth. Now watch this 47th verse. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beast that may not eat. We got to learn to make a difference, because we got to know the difference between the unclean and the clean. And when we are unclean, it's only because we've been contaminated and compromised. And yes, we will become unclean. But the goal is not to become unclean. The goal is to become clean. And we have it confused. Because the very things we do promote uncleanness. It don't promote clean. And how can we be holy in the very breath we breathe, the breath in our veins is contaminated and compromised, not by the things outside of us. It's contaminated and compromise because of what we do. And when we do it, we're not keeping the law. One of my prayers is that through this fast, 40 days and 40 nights, that many of us begin to learn that in these 40 strikes, learn to begin to have rulership and dominion over our own selves. And today we don't. Watch this. Speaking of the law, in the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter, the very thing we're supposed to be learning. See, Moses didn't die because he was unclean. Even though the wages are death of sin. But he didn't die because he was unclean. He was as healthy as he was when he was born. But today, and how do we know he didn't die? Because he lived a full number of days of life. But not so with us. Not with our people today. In the book of Leviticus,
the 10th chapter. Watch what it says. Starting at the 8th verse. And Yahweh spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink. You know your sons when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation. Lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And watch the 10th verse. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy. Between unclean and clean. We got to start putting a difference between these things. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh has spoken to them by the hand of Moshe. And we have not committed ourselves to putting a difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the unholy. Getting sick just like everybody else. We look just like everybody else. We behave just like everybody else. And there is no difference. Because we're living like everybody else. And until we make a sincere commitment to being holy, we're going to stay unclean, contaminated, and our breath will forever be compromised. Look what happened in Egypt. In the book of Exodus, the 7th chapter. I want you to see this. This is one of the plagues that Yahweh brought upon Egypt. In the book of Exodus, the 7th chapter, the 17th verse. Watch what it says. Thus says Yahweh, in this you shall know that I am Yahweh. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters, which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. And the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, say to Aaron, take your rod, stretch out your hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all the pools of the water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as Yahweh commanded. And he lifted up his rod, smote the waters that was in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died. And the river stunk, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And imagine that, blood everywhere. Blood wherever water was. It could be in some type of container, but because water was there, blood was there. Anything that had water, blood was present. And Yahweh wanted Egypt to see my land all over Egypt will become a bloody land. Of course, these are the same people that threw our babies in the river, in the waters, to snuff out their life, to take the breath of life from them. And Yahweh will show them who controls life itself. And what is life? The breath. That is what's life. And where is it? It's in blood. And here it is. Blood in Egypt was everywhere. Now imagine if this had been your body. And your blood touches everything, every place, every area of your body. So what you ingest in that body, where do you think it's going? Every single where the blood is. Which means, if it's something polluted, unclean, it means you are polluted. You are unclean. You are contaminated. And the very breath that you're supposed to value is now compromised. Egypt was compromised. And here it is. We let people feed us blood. It's called transfusions. If blood was that essential, that good for you to eat, then the Egyptians would have been drinking blood for days, because blood was everywhere. But they didn't drink that blood. They knew. They had enough sense that's something you don't do. Even though it's got the breath of life in it, you don't eat it. But why don't our people know that today? Even though we got a law, in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, turn there. This is the law. In the book of Leviticus 19, this is what it says. The 26th verse. You shall not eat anything with the blood. What about my roast? No. What about my turkey? No. What about my chicken? No. Neither shall you use enchantments nor observe time. But you're not to eat nothing with blood in it. Kind of straightforward. Right to the point. That's where the life is. It's in the blood. And why can't we value and respect what Yahweh is saying and guard and protect the very thing that's in us? As I stated before, we compromise ourselves. And we compromise ourselves by our own lust. And one day, we're going to have to be stronger than our lust. Because if we're not,
our weak links, our weakness will bring us to ruin. And haven't it already? How many untold, how many stories do you have to hear while one has met their demise? In the book of Job, the 9th chapter, all Adam needed in the garden was some water surrounded by rivers, trees surrounded by food and things that's good for the sight. No wonder people go blind. All the stuff we see and messing up our eyes and stuff putting our bodies in these trees circulate, cleans the air that we breathe. And then Yahweh gave us the woman. All the things that's supposed to be good for us. In the book of Job, the 9th chapter, the 18th verse. Watch what Job says. Job 9 and 18. He, speaking of the Most High, will not allow me to take my breath, but fills me with bitterness. In other words, Job had enough wisdom to know that when you take your breath, you take your life. And he feared the Most High that he would not even take his breath, even though he was filled with much bitterness. And many of our people ain't filled with this bitterness at all, but yet they still would take their breath by the choices and the lust that they make. Here it is. We're supposed to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy. And instead of us making a difference, we participate and execute and make the choices to take our own breath. And yeah, we might not do it overnight, but we still putting a pillow over our head. And rest assured, that pillow is going to kill us. It's going to suffocate us, just like we're suffocating ourselves by the things that we're doing. Yahweh didn't rain down no bunch of sweet tea and lemonade and vitamin water and all this other stuff that we have replaced with Yahweh's good host water that cleans. Would you take a bath in this stuff that we put in our body? Will you brush your teeth with it? Would you gargle with it? Well, we might as well, because that's what we consume. In the book of Job 27, and I want you to see there's a difference between your spirit in your brow, or Yahweh's spirit in your brow. Watch this in the book of Job 27.
second verse. As Elohim live, who has taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has grieved my soul. All the while my breath is in me, and the spirit of Elohim is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. That's what Job said. Because he even realizes that even his lips and his mouth, his tongue, the power of death is even in your tongue, let alone your blood. And when will we understand that? When will we become the trees of righteousness that Yahweh said we will be? In the book of Isaiah 61, he said we will be the tree of righteousness. Let us see that. Go there. And what tree do you know need a Beyond Burger or Impossible Whopper or some lemonade and sweet tea? Trees of righteousness don't need none of this stuff that we call ourselves doing today. Watch this. Isaiah 61 and 1, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening up of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn. And brothers and sisters, we in mourning. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. Yahweh want to be glorified, and our conduct is not glorifying to Yahweh. Our behavior is not glorifying to Yahweh. We see what Adam needed. Look what Yahweh said in the book of Psalm, the first chapter, Psalms 1. Adam didn't need all that. He had a beautiful wife, bunch of trees, good for sight, good for food. Good breathing air. Good water. But we got to have more. And this more have not helped us, but hurt us. Watch what it says. Psalm 1. I want you to see how this reads. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh. And in his law, does he meditate day and night. And watch what this says now. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Ain't that what the Garden of Eden was? That brings forth his fruit in a season. That's how he's going to be. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he do shall prosper. If you want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you better start acting like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Behaving like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In the book of Leviticus, the 12th chapter. And this is the bottom line. Yahweh said, don't eat no manner of blood. And why? Because the life is in the blood. And what is that life? It is the breath. A life. In this very breath, we're suffocating every day by our lustful, unclean, abominable actions. And these actions is not the law of Yahweh. Because the law of Yahweh is our life, the length of our days. So we know we must be doing something abominable. So watch what it says, the 25th verse. You shall therefore put difference between beasts and unclean. Between unclean fowls and clean. We don't know what's clean and what's unclean. You shall not make your souls abominable by beast, by fowl, by any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which are separated from you as unclean. And you shall be a holy people to me. For I, Yahweh, am holy, and I'll serve you from other people. That you be mine. All we got to do is keep the law of Yahweh. If we want to have health and wellness, if we don't want to be unclean, which means if we don't want to be sick, and wither away, we must return back to Yahweh. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do I.
Arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of God has risen up on this sun. And this darkness, the darkness is a cover pool. Seats of our lovers were perverted till we burn. So now it's time to return back to Yah, our city, your refuge. The fountains of living waters, the showers leaving righteousness, restores my order. And turns the song to a king, a song for my soul to sing. That brought me down very low, my garments white like the wings. Shaddai, Yah, praise be the Most High. That brought me out of insanity, crushed the tower with the vanity, and made a man of me. I'm now asking for a king, no longer my refugee. I'm now Yah's planet.
We don't want to see the
Thank you.